crazy Ekadashi, and we are back to Haridwar after a very hectic and very tedious journey to Baridranath and back. So continuing from yesterday's class, yesterday we discussed about the Shruti Prasthana and Smriti Prasthana. So we'll have a recap of what we did yesterday. So I'll just speak something point wise so that you'll have some idea. The first point which we spoke was the perfect source of knowledge is scriptures. So Vyasa, he gave all the scriptures to us. So the scriptures, they are having three prasthanas. So Vedas have another name called Prasthanatraya. That is Shruti Prasthana, Smriti Prasthana, and Nyaya Prasthana. So Shruti means what to do. Smriti talks about how to do. And Nyaya talks about why to do. So first we discussed about Shruti Prasthana. The Shruti Prasthana, the first point is they never change in Swara and Krama. They will be always the same. Whether this creation or previous creation, further going to come, they are eternally the same in both Swara and Krama. Not a word here and there will be there. They are actually Shabda Brahman. They are sound only. They are sound, the spiritual sound vibration, Shabda Brahman. Another name of Shruti is Shabda Brahman. God in the form of sound, non-different from Krishna. Krishna in the sound is Veda. So original four Vedas, that is Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva. These are the four Vedas which are called Shruti. So these four Vedas are like this. The Rig Veda talks about the mantras to be used in the sacrifices. Yajur Veda talks about how to perform the sacrifice. And Sama Veda talks about music, that is how to recite the Rig Vedic mantras in a particular musical fashion. And Atharva Veda talks about body world maintenance destruction. How this body has to be maintained, the world has to be maintained, but based science. You name a science, it is all Atharva Veda. So, like Gandharva Veda, like Dhanur Veda, the science of military science, and Ayurveda, they are all part of Atharva Veda. They are all, and they are known as Upavedas. Yesterday, Dwarka Prasad Prabhu was telling Upaveda. Means Atharva Veda, within that there are some subcategories. So, so in all the Vedas put together, there are 1130 chapters. And each chapters are divided into how many sections? Very good. So what are they? Brahmanas, Aranyakas, Upanishads, Samhitas and Upanishads. Brahmanas talk about what? How to live in a city life. And Aranyakas talk about forest. And Samhitas talk about glorification of different demigods, the Supreme Lord also. And ultimately, the Upanishads, they talk about what? Upanishads talk about the difference between body and soul, that is temporary and permanent. That is the subject matter of Upanishads. So in essence, the first three, Brahmanas, Aranyakas and Samhitas, they deal with how they deal about the knowledge regarding the world, knowledge of the world. And the Upanishads talk about what? About the world. Well, about the world means knowing that how this world is temporary and my destination is to go back home, back to God. And in the Upanishads, you find knowledge of God. But what kind of knowledge of God you will find? the indirect descriptions of God. That is, who is not God? That is what is found in the Upanishads. So that is the indirect descriptions of God. And why the indirect descriptions are there in the Upanishads? Because without giving the indirect descriptions of God, knowledge of God is simple, incomplete. If direct descriptions of God are given, like Krishna is, eyes are very beautiful, then the immediate mentality is to compare those eyes of Krishna with our eyes. First, you should say Krishna doesn't have eyes. What kind of eye doesn't have? He doesn't have the eyes of eyes like us. And then he has eyes which are transcendental and spiritual, which are very beautiful. Yeah, that is why those who are Nirakarvadis, those who are impersonalists, they always talk about Upanishads. They quote from the Upanishads mostly. And if you talk about Bhagavad Gita, they say, oh, Bhagavad Gita, we should accept only those points of Bhagavad Gita which are matching the Upanishads. I had a really tough time with such people when I was in the beginning days of Krishna consciousness, when I used to go home to, my father had many Sanskrit scholars as friends. So they used to bring all the Upanishads and I used to bring Bhagavad Gita. They'll quote a verse, I quote a verse. Like it's like Karna and Arjuna fighting. Karna throws Nagastra and Arjuna throws Garudastra. Something like that. It was going on. Both are astras only. What to do? So, at the end, after the 2-3 hours of arguments and all these things, that person would say, yeah, Bhagavad Gita is good, very good, but we should accept only that part of Bhagavad Gita which is matching the Upanishads. Then I told, argument ends. Because you are not accepting Bhagavad Gita totally. Whereas Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita, after the 10th chapter, 8, 9, 10, 11th verses. What are those verses? 10th chapter, 8, 9, 10, 11. Known as the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. The whole Bhagavad Gita is in 4 verses. 10th chapter, 8, 9, 10th, 11th verse. After that, then Arjuna says to Krishna, after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita in 4 verses, Param Brahma Parandha Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Majam Vibham Aastvam Rishas Sarve Devrishan Narada Sataha Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Cheva Bhavishme Aastvam Rishas Sarve Devrishan Narada Sataha. Everybody says that he is the Supreme Lord. Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Cheva Bhavishme Sarveta Dritam Manni Yenma Vasikeshva Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidurna Devana Devantanavaha. He says, Sarvametat Ritam Manye. I accept everything whatever you have told. Not just only that part which matches with this, only that part which I like. No. I accept everything whatever you told. Sarvametat Ritam Manye. So, so this is about Upanishads. Upanishads are the most important part. They are the knowledge part of the Vedas. So, this is about Shruti. Then yesterday we discussed something about the Smriti also. Smriti means what? Something which has been heard. Heard means from the Shruti, you hear and then remember it. After remembering, you speak it out from your remembrance. You don't speak ditto. You speak from your remembrance, experience or realization. That is called Smriti. So the first aspect of Smriti, which we discussed yesterday, was Agamas. They are the first part of the Smriti scriptures. Agama. There are 5 Agamas. What are they? First is Shaura. That is the first visible source of energy. Or Shaura means the worshippers of sun. If you go on inquiring where energy is coming from, you land up minimum to sun. That is called Vedic. If you land up into any other source other than sun, it is called non-Vedic. If you land up, oh, the source of energy is the hydroelectric powerhouse. No, it is non-Vedic. Oh, the source of all energy is some government department. It's all non-Vedic. The minimum source of energy which should assign to term yourself as Vedic is to know the sun is the source of everything, source of all energy. Then you are Vedic. You are categorized, okay. You are within that boundary of Veda. Anything beyond that, that means you are useless, low class, get out. So, Shaura. Now, yesterday I just spoke the connection, if you remember. The sun is there, a person inquired, oh, sun is, all the energy is coming from the sun, but the sun is moving. Who is making the sun move? There must be a controller for that. So then the Ganapatyas come, or the Ganesha. So, for any movement to happen, there should be no obstruction. So, Ganesha, who is a controller, so he is considered to be superior. Then Ganapatyagamas. How to worship Ganesha? It is all mentioned in the Ganapatyagamas. We should remember, the things which are there in these agamas, or the knowledge in the agamas, they are all based on the Shruti only. It is not something new. Whatever is there in the Shruti, they are presented in the Agamas. Maybe the verses may change, the knowledge is the same. The style of presenting may change, and some kind of reciting, the meter may change. Sometimes there may be poetry, sometimes maybe some descriptions, etc., etc. So, Ganapatya. And then after Ganapatya, then the Shakta, the Shakti. For a person to control, you need to have energy. So, where is that energy for that person coming from to control? Then there is Adi Shakti, that is Durga, Shakta. And Shakti is possessed by somebody, isn't it? Shakti just cannot be just independent. Okay, where is Shakti? Can you see Shakti here? No, it is possessed by somebody. So, who is the possessor of that Shakti? Then Shiva. Of course, Lord Shiva and Durga are there, Shaiva Agamas are there, but there is, for anything matter to exist, they should be spiritual. Who is that person? That is Vishnu. In this way, the Vaikhanasa Agamas come into picture. So, these are the five demigods. They're not demigods, four demigods and one Vishnu transcendental person. If you want to worship them to the Vedic way, these are the five Agamas to be accepted. After that, after the Agamas, we discussed yesterday about Puranas. So, these Puranas, they are talking about how to do. Because the whole Shruti talks about how to do only. Suppose, for example, in the Upanishads, it is mentioned that one should think of God at the time of death. That is the instruction, what to do. Then, how to do, that is explained in the Puranas or the Smritis. The example is given, Bhishma. Bhishma, you know what happened to Bhishma? He fought in the Mahabharata war. And in this way it happened. And then Bhishma saw Krishna for his keeping up his vow. Bhishma's vow. Krishna broke his own vow. And I will not lift the weapons, Krishna told. And Bhishma told, I will make sure Krishna will lift the weapons. And everybody's mood and tempo increases. Yeah, is it so? Then what happened? Then Krishna took the wheel of the chariot. He came running. Then Bhishma saw the beauty of Krishna. He gave up his bow and arrow and described the beauty of Krishna. And that is the time Arjuna shot an arrow. And Bhishma laid on the bed of arrows. At that time, to glorify Bhishma, Krishna wrote Yudhishthira. And looking at the beauty of Krishna and describing the Vishnu Sahasranam, Bhishma left his body. Then what happens? Everybody's mind is so engrossed in that. If you just tell, Antakale Chamamevasvaram Muktvakalevaram Yaprayati Madbhavam Nasyatra Samshayaha, everybody will just nod their head and go away. But if you describe like this, I'll also do. So, by the Puranas, what is happening? Not only one comes to know how to do, they also get inspired to do the things which are mentioned in the Shrutis. So to just get some instruction in doing, for that one need to have a lot of intelligence. Not only intelligence, one need to have the inspiration from within. But not everybody, 99.99% of people don't have it. That is why the Puranas come into picture. So, we have 18 Puranas. Puranas means histories, the real happenings. And apart from these 18 Puranas, there are Itihasas. What are the Itihasas? Major, Ramayana and Mahabharata. And within these 18 Puranas, every Purana has got a Upapurana. And every Upapurana has got a Upakhyana. And they are all written by Vyasa. Or sometimes Vishnu Purana is an exemption. Vishnu Purana, what is present now, is not written by Vyasa. It is written by his father, Parashara. The same thing he replaced, that's all. So these 18 Puranas, why the Upapuranas are there? Why the Upakhyanas are there? Any idea? Yes, elaborate one particular section. Suppose, for example, yesterday I gave the example of Yudhishthir Maharaj, Rajasu Yajna. In that, Indra came. For example, there is a story like that. Yeah, Padmavati Upakhyana. Like in Vishnu Purana section, there is one Upakhyana called Padmavati Upakhyana. The story of Tirupati Balaji is found in Padmavati Upakhyana. So, the story in Bhagavatam, it goes like this. Bhrugu Muni, he came and kicked the chest of the Lord. And the Lord massaged Bhrugu Muni's feet and he was begging, Oh, Bhrugu, you are a Brahmin. My chest is so hard. Maybe your feet must have not got hurt. And Lakshmi became angry because Lakshmi resides in the chest. And then she went away. Then the question arises, she went away. What happened to her? That is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. For that you need to have a Upakhyana. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj, Indra came. How did Indra come? He came alone or what? No, oh, he came with so many people. And he came with so many people. What happened to him? He saw the whole thing. Yudhishthir Maharaj, Asu, Yajna, Pandal was better than his Amaravati. Isn't it? And then you go on describing. People so think, oh, it's so like this. So people's mind will be completely engrossed in the descriptions about the Lord. So that is why the Upakhyanas are there, Upapuranas are there, Upakhyanas are there. Just imagine so many. And out of the 18 Puranas, the longest Purana, the biggest Purana is Skanda Purana. It has got 88,000 verses. Just imagine. The longest, the biggest Purana is Skanda Purana. And Skanda Purana talks about all the pilgrimage places. Skanda, the son of Lord Shiva, is asking Lord Shiva about all the pilgrimage places. Shiva is explaining to Skanda. Skanda is Kartikeya. So, those of you who want to get some information about Badri and all, you open Skanda Purana, you will get it. Some people must be wondering, hey, where are we getting all these stories from? Mostly from the Skanda Purana. If it is not elaborately described in Skanda Purana, at least there will be some one verse explaining it. Regarding that, you find another Purana, you will have something there. Not even a single inch of any Kshetra is spared. Every Kshetra, you go to Jagannath Puri, about that you will find in Skanda Purana. You go to Vrindavan, Mathura, you go anywhere, every river, every mountain, where anybody did tapasya, Lord Shiva knows and he has explained to Skanda. Imagine 88,000 verses. Bhagavad Gita has how many? 700. And Mahabharata has got 1 lakh. That is the only book, maybe. So you have Upapuranas, Puranas, and then Itihasas and Itihasas. These Itihasas are describing about one particular king in the Sun or the Moon dynasty in an elaborate way. So in the Sun dynasty, Lord Ramachandra appeared. To describe Ramchandra, Bhagavatam spends only 2 or 3 chapters. That's all. Do you think 2-3 chapters are enough to describe Lord Ramachandra? No. For that sake, Dev Valmiki wrote a huge book called Ramayana. So this is called Itihasa. And now, first is Agamas, and then Itihasas and Puranas. And the next category was what? Vedangas. Yesterday we discussed about that. To do anything Vedic, you need to have Vedangas. So what are the Vedangas? Siksha, Vyakarana, Nirukti, Chanda, Jyotish, Kalpa. Siksha, Vyakarana, Nirukti, Chanda, Jyotish, Kalpa. 6. So, first is what? Siksha means? ABCDs. I, like that. And after that, Vyakarana, combination of letters becomes words. And then the words, their meanings. That is called Nirukti. And then how to recite them? Chanda. And after that, what time, what you should do, and at the same time, personal acharan, that is called kalpa. Yesterday I described it how in ISKCON we follow all these things very spontaneously. Yeah, where and how is kalpa? Means how to sit, Bhagavatam class, how to do, and how to eat, all these things are kalpa. How to dress yourself for different occasions, all this, how to get up early. How to brush your teeth is also kalpa. Nothing is spared, everything. Brushing your teeth, it's a very important aspect. It's not so a simple thing. If you brush your teeth you'll properly, you'll never fall sick in your life. A particular way. Hari Bhakti Las talks about it. You say, Hari Bhakti Las talking about brushing teeth. Why you should talk about it? Because if you don't brush your teeth, how can you go approach the Lord? You are putting incense. And then you are not brushing your teeth properly. What is the use of all the incense? The Lord is thinking, first brush your teeth. I don't require incense first. Isn't it? So, our entire existence is spiritual. A devotee means his devotee while sleeping also is a devotee while brushing his teeth also. A devotee is devotee in all circumstances. And while taking bath also we are devotees. It is not that only when I chant I am a devotee. No. That is the most important aspect. But even while wearing dhoti, even while wearing a sari, even while putting tilak, at that time also my identification is a devotee. It is like saying, a wife telling the husband, only when I talk to you, I am your wife. Otherwise I am not. Is it so? No, only when I am with you, I am your wife. Otherwise, I am not. No, it doesn't work like that. Even though the wife is not with the husband, even though wife is somewhere else, gone to her mother's house, gone to anybody's house, wife is wife only. The same way, devotee means devotee always. Whether he goes to the office, there also is a devotee. So that is why, whatever we do, it is all spiritual. That should be our consciousness. That is why Kalpa Sutras are very important. So that is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and all talks about it. But when we discuss more about elaborately about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we can go detail into this thing. And deity worship aspects, all these things. Okay. Yesterday I forgot one thing to tell. Of course, because the question arised when I spoke about Shankaracharya. So, another part of the Smriti is the Tantra Shastras. Tantra. These Tantra Shastras are written by, are spoken by Lord Shiva for those who are not able to follow the Vedic principles. So these Tantrikas are not Vedic. Though Tantra Shastras are part of Vedic literatures, means Vedic literature means in the sense that Lord Shiva spoke them. And that is spoken for non-Vedic people. Means those who cannot follow the standards of Veda. For them, those who are very tamasic, for them the Tantra Shastras are written. The Tantra Shastras are divided into 2 parts. The left and the right. Left and right. The right aspect of the Tantra Shastras, they deal with many things like many positive things. They are not so harmful. They do some tantric things and they worship some kind of things to get some powers, etc., etc. They are not very harmful. That is why they are categorized in the right aspect. But the left aspect is black magic. What we know as black magic is one of the aspects of Tantra. Anywhere in the world, whatever you find, especially in African countries, in Northeast, and in some parts of Kerala, so those who practice very, very horrible science called black magic, they are Tantra, Tantrikas. So they are the left aspect of Tantra, and they are very dangerous. Dangerous not only for themselves, but also for everybody. Huh? Left aspect is very dangerous. The right aspect is like, to give you an example, somebody is a drunkard. So, after drinking alcohol, no matter how much he drinks, it doesn't affect him. Then what he does? He goes to Tantrika and says, I am a drunkard. So, I have to increase my appetite for drinking. And nothing is happening after drinking so much. What I should do? The Tantrika says, you want that? For 1 month, you do what I say. So 1 month, get up early in the morning at 3 o'clock. Take cold water bath. And worship this Shakti form. Some kind of expansion of, lower expansions of Durga. And do this thing. Do this thing. Worship that. Give some Tantric things. 1 month, no drinking. 1 month you'll not drink. After 1 month, then he becomes qualified to drink alcohol, and he finds, I'm getting some real thing. Some kind of enjoyment. Yeah, some kick. It's a kick this. Kick. Yeah, my friend used to say. Kick is coming. I thought, why are you drinking, getting a kick? I'll only kick, you know. Without drinking, only I'll kick. I used to learn a lot of karate. I told, why you drink and get a kick? Free of cost, I'll give you. So, and this is called Asuchi Vrata. So, you find these people, Asuchi Vrata. Unclean Vrata. They take a Vrata. What is that Vrata purpose? Purpose of Vrata? To be more unclean. 1 month, they follow certain principles so that they can break the principles in a better way. That is called Asuchi Vrata. But whereas Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Krityanto Mam Etantascha Drida Vrata. We take a vow. What kind of vow we take? Drida Vrata. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Not for 1 month, not for 1 year, throughout my life. Whereas they take this vow for temporary purpose, temporary period. Every December, January, you will find people wearing black dress. It's become fashion now. If you don't wear a black dress during December, January, then you are useless. In Bombay also, it's become very famous now. You go to Shabarimala. Exactly the day they go and have darshan and all these things, the vrata gets over, you'll find in the train itself what all regulative principles they followed, that becomes the principle. Yeah, it becomes the principle. If you don't drink, if you don't eat non-veg while coming back from Shabarimalai, so then what is the use of doing all these things? Kartika will not be happy with you. So, this is Tantra. And one more thing which comes in the Shruti or Spriti is Pancharatrik scriptures. Pancharatra. All the Pancharatrik scriptures generally are spoken by Lord Shiva. Tantric scriptures also spoken by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a speaker for almost of the 90% of the scriptures. He has something to say everywhere. In Bhagavata, in Pancharatra, in Tantra, in Veda, everywhere Lord Shiva has got something to say, because he is a teacher for all kinds of people. All kinds of people. Vedic, non-Vedic. Within Vedic, materialistic, non-materialistic. Impersonal, personal. All. And advanced Bhagavatas, those are not advanced Bhagavatas. For everybody, Lord Shiva has got something to say. He is a teacher. He speaks to the highest level of renunciates and high-grade people like Narada and all. And then he speaks to some people who are like in between, what to do with my life, like Prachetas. He speaks to them. In Bhagavatam, fourth canto, it comes, Prachetas. The Rudra Gita, he speaks a mantra to the Prachetas. He spoke it at Guruvayur. In Guruvayur temple, nearby is Bamiyur Lord Shiva. So there he came and spoke to the Prachetas. So he speaks to, we all went to Daksha temple, some people went to Daksha's temple, Lakshyeshwara. So he speaks to Sati, who is his own wife. She explains, don't go, tries to bring such people also to Krishna consciousness. And he has got Bhutaganas. All kinds of people. He explained to them, who is Krishna? So, Lord Shiva, he is a very great Acharya. He has seen in Kshetra, so we should discuss about him. So, Lord Shiva is almost the speaker of all the Pancharatras, almost. So, these Pancharatric scriptures, they are worshipping, they are used to worship Lord Vishnu. The subject matter of Pancharatric scriptures is the forms of Krishna. And how different forms can be worshipped by using different mantras. And the different ways of worshipping the Lord. It is called Pancharatra. Yeah, Vishnu gave it to Narada, that is true. But if you open the Narada Pancharatra, you will find Lord Shiva is speaking to Narada. Yeah. You will find it. Ultimately, everything source is Vishnu only. Yeah. Sometimes it so happens somebody is speaking that Lord Shiva spoke just to this person like that. It's always like this thing. But mostly all the Pancharatras, mostly are spoken by Lord Shiva. There is no like a specific thing. He spoke to this. There are a lot of conversations. Like in the Bhagavatam, what do you find? There are many conversations between Yudhishthira and Narada. Maitreya, Vidur and Vidura. Like that. Many conversations are there. So within that there are so many conversations. It will be like that. Vedic scriptures are always like this. But generally, Lord Shiva is considered to be a Pancharatrika Acharya. Very powerful person. So these are all coming under the aspect of Smriti. Agamas, the Puranas, the Itihasas, yeah, all are in one category. Puranas, Upapurana, Upakhyanas, Itihasas, one category. And then there is Vedanga. And then we have Tantra. And then we have Pancharatra. And sometimes Pancharatra is also categorized in Tantra. But we categorize it in a different way because that is a Sattvika Tantra to worship Vishnu. Sometimes you find these things are categorized like this. Pancharatra is also a tantric. That is what people say. But we categorize in a different way. No. So this is how we conclude our discussion on Smriti. So before we go to Nyaya, any questions on Smriti? Shaiva and then Vaikhanasa. Shaiva and then Vaikhanasa. Yeah. Yeah. Five. First is Shaura, Ganapatya, Shakta, Shaiva and Vaikhanasa. How do what are the scriptures which we use to worship the deities in ISKCON? Pancharatra. We use what? Pancharatra. And specifically which Pancharatra? Narada Pancharatra. We use that. Very good. Bhakti Rasamrita-sindhu, same thing only, but it talks more about achar. Upachar is also spoken, but the elaborate methodology of upachar is not there. Our life is based on two things. Achar, that is personal etiquette, what we follow. Upachar means how do we offer something to the Lord. Offer something to the Lord. So now the Pancharatri scriptures mostly talks about the upachar aspect, and also the different forms of the Lord. Going further, Nyaya. So what is Nyaya? Why to do? All this headache, why? So further, more headache. Anybody has a question, why? More headache. Isn't it? Somebody, spiritual master would come and say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Okay, somebody may feel it's a headache, but if you ask why, more headache. Isn't it? Simply do. So as soon as this question comes, why? The acharyas, they gave huge explanations for this. Why, Acha? You asked why? Here. I'll explain to you in such a way that you'll get frustrated with that why. Then keep quiet. So never ask this again. So, Vyasa, after compiling all the Vedic literatures, and especially the most important part of the Vedic literature is called the Upanishads, he presented all the Upanishads in the form of Vedanta Sutra. In the form of Vedanta Sutras. Vedanta Sutras, Sutra means what? A formula. A formula contains lot of subject matter in minimum number of words. That is called a formula. Lot of descriptions can be compressed into one small line called a formula. So Vedanta Sutras, they form the part of Nyaya. Vedanta Sutras, they form the part of Nyaya. So the format in which the Vedanta Sutras are written is based on this one question. Where everything comes from. Janma adi yasyataha. When that question is asked to the Upanishads, that means, when somebody wants to find out where everything comes from the Upanishads, there are six different people came to six different conclusions. Same book, Upanishads. Six people ask questions to the Upanishads, where everything comes from. The first category of people, our first scientist was Nyaya. The first kind of philosophy, Gautama. Gautama propounded Nyaya. And he came to a conclusion, everything comes from atoms. And then, somebody told, no. Everything comes from the combination of atoms. The second kind of philosophy. That is Vaisheshika. And then, no, somebody told, no, everything comes from material nature. Then it became Sankhya. Somebody told, no, 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 there is a Paramatma for everything. It became Yoga. I told, no, no, everything is just karma. It became Karma Mimamsa. And then Vyasa told, all of you are wrong. Then he established Brahman, the Supreme Lord, as a source of everything, and he established it in the Vedanta Sutra. So when you say philosophy, means these six systems of philosophy. When you say Nyaya Prasthana, it means Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Purvamimamsa, Uttarvamimamsa. Six systems. These are the six systems of philosophy. And what is the right philosophy? The topmost, that is the Uttarvimamsa, which is written by Vyasa in the Vyasa Sutras or the Brahma Sutras or the Vedanta Sutras. There are different names for it. Same thing, same book, Vyasa Sutra, Uttarvimamsa, Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, all these are different names. So Vyasa, in his book called Vedanta Sutra, he has defeated all the five by logic. All the other five. And he has proved that Brahman is the source of everything. So, athato brahma jigyasa, inquire into Brahman. Don't inquire into atoms. Don't inquire into material nature. Don't inquire into all these things because that is not the real source. The real source is Brahman. Now, to understand that Vedanta Sutra, it is not very easy. For that, you require a commentary. So, the four great acharyas, Sripad Madhvacharya, Sripad Ramanujacharya, Sripad Nimbarka Acharya, Sripad Vishnu Swami. How many of you know the four Vaishnava Sampradayas? Nikhil, tell the names. Brahma, Shri, Kumara, Rudra. Brahma, Rudra, Shri, Kumara. Brahma, Rudra, Shri, Kumara. There are four Sampradayas. Tell the names of the Acharyas. Four Acharyas. For Brahma, Madhvacharya. Shri, Ramanujacharya. For Rudra, Vishwaswami. For Nimbaraka, for Kumaras, Nimbaraka. So these four acharyas wrote four elaborate commentaries for these Vedanta Sutras. So Nyaya Prasthana consists of the six sutras, that is Nyaya Sutras, Vaisheshika Sutras, Sankhya Sutras, Yoga Sutras, Karmamanta Sutras and Vedanta Sutras. Along with this, the commentaries for these things. That is all coming under which prasthana? Nyaya prasthana. So, one who knows the six systems of philosophy very thoroughly, there is no question in this world which he cannot answer. Because whatever a thought process can come to anybody's mind, it is all there in the six systems of philosophy. That is the reason when Prabhupada went everywhere around the world, he was talking to all kinds of people and answered everybody. A musician comes, he answers him. A scientist comes, he answers him. A politician comes, he answers him. Everything. Why? Because he knew where they are wrong. And he also knew what is right. It is not enough to just know what is right. You should also know what is wrong. So, Srila Prabhupada knew what is wrong and he also knew where they are wrong. So that is why the conversations of Prabhupada are so powerful. It is not just some sentimental emotional platform, Krishna Bhagavan, no. If you read that book, Perfect Question, Perfect Answers, you will be shocked and amazed. If you read, you'll be amazed in one extent. But those who know the six system philosophy and they read that book, they'll be completely shocked. What a man is he. Prabhupada went to in Russia. There, one person asked. One person just told Prabhupada, everything is actually nature. And Prabhupada told, who's nature? That's all. Topic changed. Acha, we heard in you have this caste system in India. And Prabhupada told, you have the intellectuals. Yes, we have our intellectuals. We have businessmen. Acha, you have administrators. We have workers. Yeah, we have. That is, you also have caste system. Acha. Then another point. No argument. Question, answer, no argument further. Gone. Topic change. Because he told everything is nature. And Prabhupada, what is he saying? Whose nature? When you say nature, it is somebody's. So he is talking about what? Everything is nature, is Sankhya. So he is talking Sankhya philosophy. Prabhupada knew where Sankhyas are wrong. Because he knows Vedanta. He shot that particular arrow which Vyasa has written in the Vedanta Sutra. Asya Shakti. Vyasa quotes this verse. Srimad Madhvacharya quotes this verse in the commentary on this on Vedanta Sutra. He quotes Para Asya Shakti Vidheva Shruyate. Prabhupada presented the word Asya Shakti as whose nature. Asya means whose. Yes, whose nature? Simple. Whatever is there, just present it. Over. So, this is how these Vedantas are presented. Now, the whole subject matter for our class is four books are enough. Isn't it? Why I spoke all these things? Yesterday, Prabhuji was asking. Ravindra Prabhu. Prabhuji, is there a seminar on four books are enough or not? You're talking so many things. I'm just talking all these things just to tell you that four books are enough. Already you are completely flabbergasted. All these things are there. How can I study? Don't worry. All these things are there. But Prabhupada presented all these things in just four books. Let us see how it is so. Let us take first one is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. So for us, Shruti, what to do is Srimad Bhagavad Gita. All the Upanishads are there in that Bhagavad Gita. Essence, Sarva Upanishad Gav, Dugdha Gopal Nandana. Partho Vatsa, Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. Krishna, he took all the essential knowledge in the Upanishads and then put it in one book called Bhagavad Gita. Like, the essence of the cow is in the milk. The essence of all the Upanishads is there in one book. That is called Bhagavad Gita. That is our Shruti for us. And then Smriti. You require a Smriti. Smriti, the code of conduct. That is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. How to conduct our life and how to worship the Lord. Or how to worship the Lord is there also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In a sutra format. So this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is enough. Everything is there. How to conduct our life. Prabhupada said this is a law book of ISKCON. And then, Nyaya, why to do? That is very nicely explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Vyasa, after writing the Vedanta Sutras, he wrote a commentary on that. What is the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra? Athato Brahma Jignyasa. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam As what? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The second aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is what? Janmadiyasyataha. That is explained in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Janmadiyasyato Anvayaditrata Hartesh Vigneshwarat. Third aphorism of Vedanta Sutra. Shastra Yoritvat. It is explained in the Bhagavatam. Which verse in Bhagavatam? Another verse. I'm not getting that verse. Shruti. Okay, when I remember, I tell. So like that, all the verses, aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutras, in the Vedanta Sutras, there are 555 aphorisms. Aphorisms means sutras. And they are all explained in Bhagavatam. And there is a nice categorization. This sutra is explained in these verses of Bhagavatam. This sutra is explained in these verses of Bhagavatam. The categorization has been done by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Just imagine, all 555. Yeah, I have that list. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is what? The natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So for us, Shruti is Bhagavad Gita. Smriti is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Nyaya is Bhagavatam. It explains everything, all the philosophy. And ultimately, you require one more book to inspire you. What is the thing which actually inspires you to do something? I told, Puranas. One should think of Krishna. That is what to do. And in the Puranas, it is explained how Bhishma did it. Isn't it? So one should attain love of God. That is the instruction. Man manabhava mad bhakto. How to do it? That is there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Why to do it? It is there in Bhagavatam. But where do you get the inspiration to do it from? Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you cannot be but inspired to attain love for Krishna. Especially when you read those sections where Chaitanya is constantly crying for Krishna. He hears about Krishna and faints. That inspires. So you have what to do? Bhagavad Gita. And how to do? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Why to do? Srimad Bhagavatam. And your inspiration or Purana for us is Chaitanya Charitamrita. All should be read. Mataji says everybody should read all the four books one hour a day. So Mataji can tell because she is doing. I cannot tell because I am not doing. She does it every day. I don't do it. Yes, Prabhuji. Now our seminar is over. You can ask questions.
I don't know how to ask this question.
Yeah.
But what is the procedure, the way you have done it? Because you said so many things, Purana, Vidya. So
yeah.
Because the lifespan, why don't you are only in the last 30, 40 years.
Okay.
How you have done it? And I don't know this question, the formation.
My
friend, you know,
conversation.
So, his question is, so many things you are told, how you have done all these things? If at all I have done one good thing in ISKCON, except having prasadam, is I have heard from senior devotees and read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, trying to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on, and tried the best to follow Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Actually, among these four, if you follow the principles in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu properly, you can get these three things very easily. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is something like this. I told yesterday also, our main goal is to see Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam and then relish Bhagavatam. That is not possible without getting up early in the morning and chanting. You get up early in the morning, do Mangalarti and chant, open Bhagavatam, you will find that what a person without doing this is reading for 10 years, you will get it in just few days. Few days. That's all. I personally can understand. Whenever my morning sadhana is very good, on that day, my reading is good, my relishment is good, all the devotional activities, everything is good. The day the sadhana is not good, chanting is not good, everything is gone. So that is why it's very important. All the other things will happen. You are speaking 12 years, 10 years, not required. Few months are enough. Because they are all scriptures. They are not some books. You may say, what is this, Prabhuji? Books and scripture? They are persons. Bhagavad Gita is a person. Bhagavatam is a person. Expansion, Krishna's form. So the Bhagavatam will speak to you. Bhagavad Gita will speak to you. Provided our morning program is very good. Whether you are a brahmachari, whether you are a grihastha, we should be very, very strict and sincere about our morning program. Getting up early in the morning, doing Mangalarti and chanting. And then you see, sometimes you will speak something from Bhagavatam which you have not read also. 10 years, what? Forget about 10, 15 years. What is time? Time is matter. Being bound by time is material. And spirituality is beyond time and space. Beyond time and space. 10 years devotee, 15 years devotee, this is all nonsense. Few days enough. Because spirituality is not dependent on time. Advancement in spiritual life doesn't depend on time. It is not our, I got so much of experience of 15 years, 20 years, so what? Katvanga, he had spiritual experience in 1 second. It is not time dependent. Not time dependent. So, hope I have answered your question. Yes. Very strict. No compromise with that. If that is perfect, all the other things will be perfect. You have experienced that. You have experienced that. Yes, Prabhuji. Path in? Oh, the prayag. So, the rivers are devotees of Krishna. They are all chanting and dancing the glories of Krishna. You have written something. You can speak it out. after I speak. So the song, this is actually a poem, not a poem, realization of the acharyas. There's no scriptural thing for this. So they're chanting in the glory and chanting and singing glories of Krishna. And they're very enthusiastic to do these things. You'll find in the rivers. When the Sangam happens, when two rivers meet means it is like two devotees meeting. Two devotees when they meet, what happens? The glories increase more. It is like two devotees embracing each other in ecstasy, in chanting and dancing. That's called Sangam. Satam prasangat mamavirya sambidho bhavanti hitkaran rasayanakata tajjoshnadashvatapavargavartmani shraddharatir bhaktiradukramishyati. The Bhagavatam says, Satam prasangat mamavirya sambidho. So when two devotees are meeting and then we are in ecstasy and chanting the glories of the Lord, you go there. So always one should go and then get inspired by seeing the other devotees chanting the glories of the Lord. Kunti Maharaj says, Taiva paschanta chiranatavakam bhat pravavo paramam padambujam. Taiva paschanti. Even those who just see the other devotees glorifying the Lord and experiencing ecstasy, they also will be delivered. I don't have that ecstasy. I don't have that kind of devotion. But just by seeing the other devotees' devotion, I get inspired. That is called prayag. That is called sangam. So what you read, read. Everybody is supposed to read. Say something. What realizations they have about rivers? I told.
Krishna is Swaraj. I have 3 pages.
Read it out. 3 pages will take 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Krishna is Swaraj. He may or may not think of Radhe. He may sometimes leave Vaikuntha and meditate alone. But Radhe cannot leave Krishna. She runs behind him wherever he goes. Krishna may change object of meditation, but Krishna is only the object of meditation of Radha. Just as how river runs to meet the sea, crossing all the hurdles. Sometimes stones hurt, sometimes thorns prick. But still her object is to meet Vishnu residing in sea. All her pains are relieved at the sight of, as soon as she sees the Lord. The moment of separation from my worshipable Lord is the moment I feel miserable. Let my mind and senses flow continuously, overcoming all the hindrances like Ganga to meet my worshipable Lord. Cold things do not flow fast, but Ganga, though very cold, gushes in an unimaginable speed, like how the lovers do not reveal their mind in the same way. Though there is heat of separation from Lord, she does not reveal and is seemingly cold. But one who has understood her movements, jumping up and down, can understand how she is eager to meet her lover and see his wonderful face. O Ganga, please give me that love for Krishna. Narayana is meditating and Lakshmi is protecting his meditation. She takes form of Ganga, so as also to protect his devotion, his meditation. People get rid of many sinful tendencies when they bathe in her. This is just like how mother plays and teaches her children so that they will not disturb the father who is busy in meditation.
Hare Krishna. So this is a major main thing about the prayaga. Means you go and see the devotees in ecstasy, in chanting and dancing, and then get inspired. Nice realization. So any more questions? Yes.
Ganga Mataji, aap bataye the pehle, pehle aap Meru Parvat tak bataye the, uske baad.
Somebody remembers that at least. Yeah, his question is, I told about Ganga, that she comes up to Meru. Later on you did not tell. So she is stuck up in Meru now. I did not tell further. I'll just tell in few sentences. As soon as Ganga, she comes first, she reaches what? Dhruva. And the Ganga water is mixed with the tears of Dhruva. And then it falls from there to Saptarishis. From Saptarishis it comes down to the Meru Parvata. From the Meru Parvata, it divides into four branches. Northeast, southwest. Four branches. And one of the branches is Alakananda. One of the branches is Alakananda. She flies from one mountain peak to other mountain peak, one mountain peak to other mountain peak, and then it comes down to this earthly planet. And she came down to this earthly planet because of Bhagiratha. The story of Bhagiratha is like this. Sagara Putras. There is one king named Sagara. Of course, because of him only the name Sagara came for these oceans. He had children, 60,000 children. So they were doing Ashwamedha Yajna. So then what happened? There's one king who was very much envious of them. What he did, he took the horse and tied it in the Kapila's ashrama. So that is there in Ganga Sagar. Kapila was doing meditation in Ganga Sagar, that is near Calcutta. Further from Calcutta you go, Ganga Sagar is there. Ganga meets the river. What to do? Then all these 60,000 children came, saw this Muni, he has tied his horse. Then they disturbed his meditation. They told, what, how dare you tie your horse, all these things start. Kapila became very furious, and just by his eyesight, he was so powerful that he killed all the Sagaras. He burned them off. Then Sagara begged pardon and all these things. What to do? How they will be delivered? Kapila told, the only way they can be delivered is when Ganga comes. So, Kapila's, Sagara's son, he could not do anything. His son was Bhagiratha. And he came to know that my ancestors, they can be delivered only when Ganga comes. So he went all the way till Gangotri. Near Gangotri he went there. There is a stone where Bhagiratha did tapasya. He did so much of tapasya that Ganga was pleased. She told, I'll come. But when I come with such a great force, but who is going to take that? Mother Earth cannot take this. Then Bhagiratha did again tapasya. To please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva told, I'll take. Why? Because he was so happy that the Charanamrita of Lord Krishna is going to fall on his head. He's going to take it on his head. So in ecstasy, what happened? Lord Shiva's matted hair, it actually completely covered the entire Bhumandala. From that corner to this corner, like the entire diameter was covered. Jatas were like in ecstasy going this way, that way. And Mother Ganga, it fell down on Lord Shiva's head. And he covered that Ganga very carefully in his matted locks of hair. And from there he just let a small drop of stream to come and then fall in Manasa Sarovar. That is where the first drop of Ganga touches this earth. From Manasa Sarovar it comes to Gomukh. From Gomukh it comes to Gangotri. From Gangotri, it flows to Devaprayag. Other rivers, what you find as Alakananda, Mandakini, they are also coming from Manas Sarovar. They are also different names of Ganga only. So one goes via Gangotri, one goes via Kedarnath, one comes from Alkapuri, that is Badrinath. Like there are many, many branches. They all come and meet at Devaprayag. And there it takes the full form, that is Ganga. From there, Yamuna. Yamuna is there within, hidden within Ganga. And the Saptarishis, in their meditation, they take that Yamuna. So from the Saptarishis mountain, Yamuna flows from Yamunotri. And it joins Ganga at Prayagraj, Allahabad. So, Yamuna is known as Gupta Vahini because when Ganga is flowing down and touching this earthly planet, that is the time Yamuna is separated by the Saptarishis. Only Ganga is held by Lord Shiva. The Saptarishis take Yamuna. So, Saptarishis mountain is there in Yamunotri. Yeah, I thought Yamunotri means like you go there, you will find Yamuna coming. But you will find Yamunotri is just a river there. Like it's as good as like Haridwar. You go to Rishikesh. You come to Haridwar, you find that Ganga is flowing from Haridwar. Then you find, oh, Ganga is flowing no, further from Rishikesh. You come here, oh, Ganga is flowing from somewhere else. Like that, you go to Yamunotri, you will find Yamuna is flowing from somewhere else. Actually, it is flowing from Saptarishis. The Saptarishis, they are meditating on some mountains there, away from Yamunotri. And it is very difficult terrain to go. Last year I had gone to Yamunotri. And I found, I really felt bad. But hey, I came all the way here. I found Yamuna is coming from somewhere. And they told that, no, it is coming from Saptarishis. They showed a hill. Just by looking at it, you will be completely shocked. How can I go there? And even if you go there, there is no guarantee that you will find Saptarishis. It's like that. So in this way, it meets the Ganga Sagara. Like that. Okay.
मुझे गंगा चार भाग में डिवाइड हो गया तो और थ्री भाग
और थ्री कौन सा
एक आप बताए ना
हाँ they go and meet different oceans in different planetary systems. They all mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is one branch called Bhadra. It goes and falls in other earthly planet, not this earth. Those other three parts, they don't come to this earth. Only one part, that is that Alakananda, which comes to this earth. Other three parts go and fall in different planetary systems. Because Ganga purifies all the three worlds. Swardhuni. She actually flows in the heavenly planets also. She flows in the heavenly planets which are there in the earth also. Actually, there are two kinds of heavenly planets. One is a Dviswarga, which is there in the higher planetary systems. Other is a Bhaumaswarga. So, this Ganga, the other three, they fall in the other Bhauma Swarga, which is not touching this particular earth. This earth is only touched by one part of Alakananda, one part, which falls in the southern. Alakananda is actually southern, from Meru, south. Meroho Dakshinayane, means the southern part of Meru is this Bhu, it is earth. Those who do the Sankalpa, they say this, time and space. Where I am? I am Meroho, Jambudvipe, Bharatavarshe, Bharatakande, like that, Aryavarte, Dakshine Parsve, like that, it goes on. This is southern branch, comes here. So, any more?
4,32,000 years.
Yeah.
What will happen?
Satya will start. Yeah, some small devastation will be there. Small. It is not a major. It is not that kind of thing. Some changes will be there. It is something like this. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, the entire world. It doesn't happen like that. Any yuga is divided into three parts. Yuga Sandhya, Yuga, Yuganta. Yuga Sandhya is like the sunrise. How is it happens? All of a sudden sun comes? No. Gradually it happens. So in the same way, the change happens in the particular period of time. So that period of time may be 1,000 years. Out of 4,32,000, 1,000 years is not a big thing for the change to happen. Few tsunamis, in every few years, few earthquake, few years, like that, changes will happen. Now, few years back, there was a big earthquake in Bhuj. So at that time in Bhuj, it is like a village and all kinds of things were there. Not really. But if you go now, totally changed. So within 10 years, or maybe, I don't know how many years it has happened since earthquake, 8 years or so. So you find there is a drastic change. Isn't it? Like that only. A volcano may come. There may be a land which is highly infertile. Full of mountains and everything is rock, nothing is there, nothing grows. And a volcano comes. After 50, 60 years of volcano, you'll find it becomes the most fertile.
It has happened in Iceland just
now. Yeah. The volcano. Yeah. Huge volcano, like that. So the changes happen like this. So anymore? Yeah.
It moves one year towards the sun and then its 4 years are complete. All the planets are start colliding. Is this any reflection?
All mental speculation of some scientists. What the modern cosmology, it is all absurd. Because the very basis of their understanding of matter is only three-dimensional. But the scriptures give the understanding of matter at higher dimensions, multidimensional. So the sun in the middle, all the planets are rotating, revolving, that is all childish. Because they don't know what a planet means. The very definition of planet is wrong according to modern science. Very definition of a satellite is wrong. According to Vedic science, the moon is further than the sun. When Prabhupada wrote the fifth canto commentaries in Bhagavatam, in which nicely described how the sun, planet, moon, planet, everything is there, many devotees, they lost faith and they were leaving ISKCON. And then few devotees came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is what is happening. Fifth canto, it is like, it's like illogical for devotees, please do something. When Prabhupada told, empty cow shed is better than no better than cows which don't give milk. It is better to have empty cow shed than to have cows which don't give milk. In other words, he told, it is better to have no devotees who don't have faith than to have, of course, somebody who doesn't have faith, because you cannot tell a devotee, that person a devotee who doesn't have faith. So that is what he told. So he was not afraid. Many scholars and very intellectual devotees who had done lot of service in the movement, when they read the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, which describes the cosmology, their faith was shaken. One devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you see, the earth is round in shape. When the plane takes a it flies like this, it goes here, and this is how the whole thing is. Prabhupada told, it is not so. And it is the experience of many scientists also, it is not so. It is not just earth round in shape. It is made zabardasti round in shape. Because it has got higher planes. In the age-old maps, if you see Manas Sarovar, there is no full boundary for Manas Sarovar. The Britishers are those people are expert in making maps. Most of the parts of the world, the map was made by the Britishers. So when they went to survey Manas Sarovar, they could not survey. Not because it is ice, it is mountains, no. When they could survey other part, when they could survey Alps, they could survey so many big mountains, like it's bigger than these Himalayas, physically, because Himalayas are the biggest. There are some mountains which are some bigger than Himalayas, physically. When they could survey all these things, big, big lakes and all, why not Manasarovar? Because they could not meet the other end when they started going in a boat. They could not see. They just draw the beginning part and then the other part is just no boundary. So there is no information about the higher dimensions. So modern cosmology is like childish. Real cosmology is there in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It explains very scientifically all these things. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like Krishna.
Yeah.
Why these people are spending time, not many people, you know, around the world.
Yeah.
Not many scientists, you know, they are doing so many research, so many things. You know. Why they are doing that? Because already there.
Yeah.
Done by somebody.
Yeah.
Who we are saying Krishna.
Yeah. I'll just answer in a very philosophical way. For a person to have faith in the scripture, he should have some sukruti, either in this life or the previous life or lifetimes. He should have done some pious activity of serving the devotees, serving the Lord. Then the faith in the scriptures comes. So those people who are there around the world trying to do their research on their own way, they don't have that faith. Scriptures reveal themselves to the extent one has faith in them, especially in the age of Kali. This point is there in the Jyotish Shastra. Even Jyotish Shastra, the original speaker of Jyotish Shastra is Lord Shiva. So he says, especially in the age of Kali, the scriptures are true only to the extent of the person's faith in them. It is not that they are wrong. Their revelation, when we say truth, it means revelation, happens to the extent the other person has faith in them. It is like the deity. For a materialistic person, deity is what? A stone. Is it wrong? For him, it is stone. It is not, he is not wrong. But he is not right for others who has faith. But for him, he is right. Yeah. Very good. So Krishna gives that faith and intelligence only when he sees that sincerity to find out the truth. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, it is Bhagavatam is mentioned, etavadeva jigyasam tattva jigyasanatmanah anvay vitrika abhyam yatsyat sarvat sarvada. One who is very sincere in finding out the truth, when Krishna sees that sincerity, first he makes that person meet a devotee, associate with a devotee, sadhu. That sadhu sangha will give him the faith in the scriptures. So if somebody is sincere, Krishna doesn't give faith in the scriptures directly. He gives the faith in the scriptures through a devotee. Because It is the devotees who follow the scriptures. Lord, he doesn't follow the scriptures. He is beyond the scripture. So, directly Krishna will not install the faith in the scriptures. It is a devotee, association of devotee, which makes that person to have faith in the scriptures. That is why when those people who attend the Bhagavad Gita course, we take everywhere. What is the very first day what we speak in the Bhagavad Gita course?
Why have you come here?
Why have you come here? First thing we speak is inquiry. So if you are sincere, that is why you came here. Sincere to inquire, know the truth. So you are trying to know the truth everywhere in Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman. So these two are wrong. Because to make a person to have faith in a particular thing, you should also explain that how the other things on which he has faith in, they are false. That is why the very first day we drop a bomb on the faith of the people, on their faith on materialistic things, their faith in modern science, their faith in other books to get proper knowledge, we drop a bomb on that. It is very necessary. And then show that how scriptures, they are the absolute source of knowledge. And Krishna will not personally come and do that to you. It is to the devotees. He does that. But for that, what is the first thing required? Sincerity. Know the truth. If anybody is sincere to know the truth, there is no other option for him other than scriptures. True. That is why more preaching. Preaching means first to have explain to them that you have to have faith in scriptures. You open any book, any scripture, it all starts with this thing only. Pratyaksha, Anumana, Shabda. That is why when some people come for argument, there is somebody in Bombay, somebody who is preaching that Islam is best, Hinduism is something like that. So somebody who has bet, Prabhuji, why don't you go? He has defeated Ravi Shankar or somebody. You know that thing. I told him. See, there is no point in discussing about God. There is no point in discussing about soul, anything. First discuss what is our authority. Whether Hinduism is right or Muslimism, Islam is right, that is not the question. What is our authority? That is the first question. Let us have a common authority and then argue. It is like saying, whether the thing which I am sitting, is it a chair or a table? I say it is a table, you say it is a chair. We go on arguing. What is the use? First establish one common authority. Argument is not on authority, is for authority, is based on authority. He has different authority, I have different authority, there is no argument. You lead your life, I lead my life. When we have common authority, then argument starts. Like, there in the court of law, there cannot be an argument between two nationalities. You cannot have an American and an Indian arguing. Because American, he argues based on American constitution. And Indian argues based on Indian constitution. And first find out there should be common constitution. And then you argue. Isn't it? So, first is to establish authority of the Vedas. That is the purpose of Shankaracharya's advent. Lord Shiva came and established the authority of the Vedas. Within the authority of Vedas, you try to argue, do whatever you want. But first is accept Veda. Vedam, Satyam. That faith. And then, there Ganesha, Shiva, all these things later. First is Veda. So once people accept Veda, so then, 99% of the problem is solved. Then people say, God, for me it is God. Okay, for you it is God, but is it your understanding or is the Veda saying that? So many people are non-Vedic even though they think I am following Veda. No, they are not following Veda. So some people say, no, for me Ganesha is God. Okay, for you it is God, but point is, what is authority? Are you the authority or the Veda is the authority? So whenever somebody asks anything, Prabhupada, you say so, Prabhupada told, now I don't say, Krishna says so. I don't know, but Gita says it. I don't know, Bhagavatam is saying, you just speak to the Bhagavatam. It's like that. So preaching means to establish people's faith in Veda. Okay?
Prabhuji, what do you say about global warming?
See, global warming, it is there. It is not there. So the modern science understanding of warming and their reasons for it, it is not the ultimate reason. It is only the symptom. The fundamental difference between Vedic science and the modern science is this. The Vedic science knows the actual reasons, the actual happenings. The modern science only knows the symptoms. Like for example, I have fever. Fever is not a disease. It is only a symptom. The modern science tries to cure the fever, not the disease. Whereas the Vedic science, it knows the disease. The disease is the imbalance of Kapha Pitta Vayu. And fever is a symptom. It's like that. The global warming, if you consider it to be a fever, that is not a disease. That is only a symptom. The disease is somewhere else. What is it? I cannot explain now. Needs to be a little bit researched.
Perhaps the disease is the onset of Kali more and more.
Whatever it is, that needs to be researched. But the fundamental principle is this thing.
The way that this warming is happening,
yeah.
Sometimes we feel that how will it last for like 32,000
years? Yeah, that's true. That person was telling, in my childhood when we went to that Ruddha Badri, in his childhood, he saw in the morning he could come out and then 6 to 7 feet of ice would be there. The doors, it would be about their doors also, about their huts, ice.
Yeah,
but now he says, kabhi kabhi barf padta hai. Isn't it? Definitely.
The rivers have dried up.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Within 50 years this happens, so 432,000 years, what would happen?
Yeah. It's true. So, better go back home, back to Garden, as soon as possible. So, Prasad is coming, Masji? He's on the way. He brought it? Yeah. Bring it down. No. Radhi Sukhsari, you brought it? Okay. Yeah.
Like whatever we have been discussing all this time,
yeah.
Like which has been establishing like how the Lord is, where He is, how, like what is our aim and all.
Yeah.
These books have been written, I think, almost 1,000, 5,000 years back.
Yeah.
And I have seen there are some sects in India who say that He is God, because He would have come 100 years back. So there is no record of that, because this Puranas, Vedas, no, there was written 1,000, 5,000 years back.
Yeah.
So when they are saying that I am God, are they wrong? Because this is just 100, 200 years back.
Hmm.
So nothing has been written on thereafter by Vyasa or anybody, you know, who can say that He is wrong.
Nice question. Vyasa whatever has been said previously, he has defeated. And what has been said previously? Yaya Vaisheshika Sankhya Yoga Purvamimamsa. These five systems of philosophy. These five systems of philosophy are nothing but the descriptions of whatever wrong a person can think. Whether in the past or in the future. Every wrong thought any individual can think of, whether in the past or in the future, comes within these five systems of philosophy. And Vyasa has an answer for all these things. So that is why Srila Prabhupada meets a politician of the modern age. He has an answer for this. Okay, somebody said, I am God. And recently there was one Bhagavad Gita course. One person stood up and told, for me this person is God. He also says God is very powerful, is God this thing. And the person who was giving the course, he told, I don't know all these things, but the scriptures say once whose hairs become white cannot be God. Because it is said, Krishna is Navayavanamcha. So that person gave point. Everybody started laughing. <Isn't it? laughs> Once his hair has become black, he could not even control his hair is graying. What kind of God is he? Isn't it? Another God went to the dentist. Another God cancer and died. One God was caught by the police. So, what with that? Okay, we'll hear Mataji's.
I have one small last question.
Yeah.
I hope. Vyasadeva wrote all scriptures, and when he wrote Bhagavatam, before he wrote Bhagavatam, he was not very happy about it.
Yeah.
Vyasadeva himself is Lord incarnated.
Yeah.
In his form.
Yeah.
Why he could not write in the first place itself Bhagavatam, the correct thing? Why he has troubled
all of us with this seminar? In simple, you want to say indirectly, why are you troubling? Why he has troubled with?
No. Why Narada has to come and tell him? If he is himself, why Narada need not tell him?
The Upanishads say, that Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. God, Krishna, He is one eternal among many eternals. He is one conscious living entity among many conscious living entities. And what is He doing? That one Krishna, He is satisfying the desires of everyone. Eko bhunam yo vidadhati kaman. Kaman means all the desires are there. So, for a person to satisfy a desire, he requires two things. A philosophy for it and the arrangement for it. For example, somebody wants to enjoy watching a movie. For that, he required to have a movie. Other thing, a philosophy which suits that this is going to give happiness for him. Without these two things, nobody can enjoy. Nobody can satisfy the desire. So Vyasa, he gave a philosophy for everyone to satisfy their desires. Because Krishna, he did it through Vyasa. And by creating this world, he made an arrangement for satisfying everybody's desire. An arrangement. An arrangement and a philosophy. Both. for those who are sincere and the desire is to go back home, back to God and attain love of God, there is a philosophy that is Bhagavatam. So till that philosophy is not given and an arrangement for that is not taken up, the soul is not satisfied. To say that thing in a explicit way, this pastime of Narada and Vyasa happened. Okay. So now we hear Ratisukha Sare from Mataji. We have this sweet ending for our yatra. Of course, tomorrow we'll go to